Welcome to the podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together the message and a taste of the music that we experience each Sunday morning as we root our lives in grace through worship here at The Table. More and more people are finding their way to The Table through this podcast, so if you are one of the many, many folks who tune in each week from other parts of California, other parts of our country, or even from other places in the world, we would invite you to take a next step in growing in faith here at The Table. You can do that online at our website, thetableumc.org. There you'll find links to social media and also a way to make a deep commitment to our community to express how you hope to root your life in grace, to grow in faith, to reach in love, and to give generously. If you're one of the many people listening to this but haven't quite walked through the door of the sanctuary yet on a Sunday morning, we would love to welcome you into the beauty of this sanctuary. We gather each Sunday for worship at 9:30 and at 11. Our address is 5265 H Street in East Sacramento.
Let's walk together for a while and ask where we begin. To build a world where love can grow and hope can enter in. To be the hands of healing and to plant the seeds of peace. Singing welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. All are welcome, the love of God to share, 'cause all of us are welcome here. All are welcome in this place.
Along, Jesus saw a person blind from birth, and his disciples said to him, "Rabbi, who sinned? Was it this man himself or his parents, their sin that made him born blind?"
Left side. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that the works of God might be shown in him. We must work the works of God who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Night has passed and the day lies open. Night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Let us pray with one heart and mind.
So, after Jesus said these things, he spit on the ground, and he made mud from the spit, and he spread the mud on the blind man's eyes. And then Jesus said to the blind man,
"Go, wash in the pool of Siloam."
Siloam means having been sent. And the blind man did as he was told and washed, and he came out of the water seeing.
As we rejoice, as we rejoice in the gift of this day, in the gift of this day. Morning comes with the light of your presence. Upon us, let us pray with one heart and mind. Let us pray with one heart and mind.
Then his neighbors and those who had seen the blind man before because he was a beggar said,
"Wasn't this man the one who sat and begged?"
And then others were saying,
"Yes, he's the one."
Still, others were saying,
"No, but he looked."
And then the blind man spoke,
"I am the man."
And the crowd asked the man born blind.
"The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and I washed, and I received my sight."
Morning comes with the light of your presence. Morning comes with the light of your presence upon us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice, as we rejoice in the gift of this day, in the gift of this day, in the gift of this day, in the gift of this day.
I don't know.
Then the neighbor brought the man who had formerly been blind to the Pharisees. It was a Sabbath day when Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes. And the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And the formerly blind man said,
"He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see."
Some of the Pharisees said that Jesus was not from God, because he didn't observe the Sabbath. Other Pharisees said, "How can a man who's a sinner perform such signs?" They were divided. So the Pharisees asked the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened."
"I say he is a prophet."
The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called on his parents and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered,
"We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself."
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. So, for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that the man who cured you is a sinner."
"Whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind. Now I see."
The religious leaders asked what Jesus had done to him.
"I have already told you, but you don't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?"
Then they criticized him angrily and accused him of being a disciple of Jesus while they were disciples of Moses. They knew that God had spoken to Moses, but as for this Jesus man, they did not know where he had come from. The blind man spoke up one more time to the Pharisees.
"Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God does listen to one who worships and obeys God's will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing."
They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and you are trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard they'd thrown him out, and when Jesus found him, he said,
"And who is this, sir, that I may entrust my life to him?" "I do believe, Lord."
Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things, and they said to Jesus, "We're not blind, are we?"
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing afresh from the world. Oh, in the gift of this day, 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 as we rejoice, as we rejoice. We rejoice as we rejoice in the gift of this day, in the gift of this day, in the gift of this day. In the gift of this day, 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 in the gift of this day. In the gift of this day.
You know, that blind man was just minding his own business, or at least that was my impression. And hopefully you all have your own picture of that whole scene now. He's doing what was expected of him at the time. So the fact that he's blind, I'm assuming that he knows this about himself. But let's just hold for a moment that if you have known no way else of living, like if that has been your whole existence, maybe you don't really think of yourself as blind. You just think, this is my life. This is all I've known. And what that meant was he would have been seen as unclean, and that is why he was begging, so that at least he could somehow survive and not be a burden to his parents, and find a way on the margins to subsist. So there he is doing that, and Jesus walks by and heals him. And we don't know why Jesus even notices the man. Doesn't say. He bends down, grabs some dirt, spits on it, makes it into mud, and then covers the man's eyes with that mess. Remember, he's still blind, and says, "Go wash it off in the pool of Siloam." And that man, hearing Jesus first, obeys. And when he obeys and leaves the scene and goes to the pool and washes, he finds that he can see. Not again, but for the very first time. His life is forever changed. What would it be like? What is it like to see for the very first time? Is it scary? Is it shocking? Is it exciting? Is it relieving? Is it confusing? And what is it like when you see for the first time for all of the people who have only known you as a blind person? Do they rejoice in the gift of the day? In this story, the answer is not so much. There seems to be a lot of resistance. In this story, the man born blind meets Jesus and follows his directions, and I want us to notice that he never sees him. He hears his voice, follows the directions, but by the time he's healed and he comes back, Jesus is gone. We don't know where Jesus goes. At the end of the story, of course, Jesus returns to claim this new disciple. But in between, that man is on his own. One theologian wrote about it like this: the man born blind who can now see has no idea how his sight has been given to him. But that doesn't stop everyone around him from wanting details. It's like he's the White House press secretary and everyone is hammering him with questions. We can see that scene, right? All he can give them at first is this timid testimony about Jesus. I was blind. Now I see. That's all he's got. That's all he's got, but it's a start, right? He's recognized Jesus' voice, chosen to obey, and something powerful has happened to him. Something. You know, we created this worship series in large part to make space for all of us to move towards our own testimony of what it means when we have a powerful experience that we want to name as Jesus, and possibly as Jesus being the Christ. And I hope this story of Jesus and the man born blind might actually encourage us to start taking a next step in our relationship with Jesus, whether we feel like we're just at the beginning of that, or whether we have really been at this for a long time. Because it takes time, frankly, to shape our belief into words, and those words, in order for them to make sense to ourselves and anyone else, we have to give ourselves space and time. This man born blind seems like someone we might learn from, someone who gives himself a little bit of time. If you notice, his responses grow both in eloquence and courage in the face of all of these questions that go on and come at him and at him until even his own parents, his folks, back quietly away from him into the wings. They don't want to get in trouble. And by the end, finally, he answers the Pharisees so sharply that they expel him out of the congregation. Matt read it for us. I hear it like this: here is an astonishing thing, people. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. You need to hear me. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God does listen to one who worships and obeys God's will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. This is a new thing. If this man were not from God, I don't think he could do anything. For him to say that with tone and conviction, this nobody from nowhere who has a whole 45 minutes of sight under him has just told all the powers that run the whole church that they wouldn't recognize God if she was standing right in front of them. I mean, that's what that is. And as you might not be surprised to learn, it doesn't go over very well. And they pull the, "Who do you think you are?" Right? "You are steeped in sin. We teach the rules. You out." They just kick him out. After that happens, it's not long before the man born blind, who can now see but has been expelled, is approached by someone else. We know it's Jesus. He doesn't. He's never seen Jesus. So yet another person comes questioning him, and he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he thinks, "Where have I heard that voice before?" Because we all know that people who are blind have, right, a keener sense of hearing, we hear. "Where have I heard that voice before? It's not like that harsh questioning I just left. Who is that?" he says back to Jesus. "Tell me who it is so I can believe." And Jesus says, "You have now seen him. We're face to face now. And the one who is speaking to you, it's me. It's me." And then in my imagination, something gets moving within this man born blind again, because last time when he was in a conversation, it resulted in a blinding light. This time, the light is different. It's more like a dawning awareness. Wow, this is the man. This man just changed my whole life. I can't explain it, but he just changed my whole life. He puts together the face with the voice, and he remembers the mud, and he realizes, this man healed me. And he falls on his knees, it says in the scripture, in recognition, and shares what he now sees and feels, which is, "I believe." Jesus is the only one, it seems to me, that is trustworthy at this point. And as we heard in the reading, everyone else seems more worried, completely convinced that they are all about rules and regulations. They want explanations. They want the science behind it, you know. And I want to just say a quick word about the Gospel of John here, because it helps us to know that for the writer of the Gospel of John, when we hear about Pharisees, he paints them as gatekeepers. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But as we know, gatekeepers can, on occasion, get a little carried away with their job description. And sometimes their power goes a little to their heads, right? And most often, I imagine, most of us hear this story, and we objectify those Pharisees, and we relate with the blind man. But if that's true, who are those Pharisees to us? Like, if we are the blind man who can now see, who do the Pharisees represent for you? Who is the person or persons in your life that have been the gatekeepers of saying who Jesus is? Who has the power to convince you who is in and who is out? Who for you are the theologically correct folks who know what a true Christian really is? Who represents the proper definition for you of Jesus the Christ? According to the Gospel of John, whoever that is for you, for me, those are the ones to watch out for. Because they think they have 20/20 vision. And I'm not an eye doctor. I don't know if there's something, is there something better than 20/20 vision? Because they actually think they have that. That's what I think. They think they have perfect vision. And they don't hold back on telling you exactly what they see, so you're going to know what you should see, right? They want the best for you. They love you. They care for you. They want you to see straight. Don't go outside the lines. They want you to see the right way, clearly. No abstract pictures allowed. Why? Because that is not the proper way. And it's not the way they've been taught. And it's not real. And it doesn't clearly represent the God that we can manage. God has to look like God has always looked in order for it to be okay. God doesn't heal on the Sabbath through a man named Jesus who we don't know. God certainly doesn't heal sinners. This can't be anything godly. If you are blind from birth, it's because God has punished you for not going about your religion in the correct way. Maybe it was your parents. Either way, somebody sinned, and that's why you're like this, and that is exactly how God has worked, will work. Moses told us, I don't know who this man Jesus is talking. But the man born blind can see. So deep within him, he doesn't think he's wrong. He sees things differently. And maybe he's thinking to himself, there is actually something worse now than breaking the rules. Worse than putting yourself out there and getting it wrong about what you think about God or Jesus. What's worse is that it might be God and you might miss it. What happens if that happens? See, the man born blind doesn't want to miss God, but everybody around him, I think they miss God. Here's how Eugene Peterson renders the end of this story. His words like, let's say this. Jesus said, I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have been, who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind. Some Pharisees overheard him and says, does that mean you're calling us blind? Jesus says, if you were really blind, you would be blameless. See, that's their worldview. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure. The community fails. The religious authorities fail. The family fails. The only trustworthy figures really in this story, I think, are Jesus and the man born blind. Because he's doing his best to tell the truth, even in the face of threat and abandonment. He says, I was blind, but now I see. Again and again and again, the man witnesses to the saving grace he experienced in Jesus Christ. He persists. And it's an amazing story that the one born blind, the one who has lived his whole life in the dark, is the one to see clearly enough to recognize Jesus as the Christ. I wonder what was going on inside of him. I really, really wonder. Was he worried when he was saying this? Was he relieved when he was saying this? When we're able to recognize our own blindness and see the world in a new way, we are often actually moving towards being able to claim Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe over and over again, as the Christ. See, this week we asked our kitchen table folks, everyone who's in our small groups, to work on this question. We got a lot of answers. Matt's going to share with you just a few. So let's listen to the testimony of some of you that are right here in this room of what it was like to be blind and now to see.
One person shared, once I believed I was not as good as everyone else. Now I believe we're all flawed and are happier when we trust that God loves us and to accept my flawed awesomeness. We are all flossom. Once I saw the world as fear and black and white and it made sense, and now I see the world like I don't know anything really except God is and we are loved. Another person said, once I believed all love ever does is break and burn and end. Now I believe love is alive, back from the dead, and it's come back to me. Another person said, once I saw the world like this, all I've ever known is the goodbye. Now I see the world like we'll never be left alone. Finally, another person said, once I saw the world like something to withdraw from. Now I see the world like something to be engaged with. How about one more? We have a lot more of these. Can I do one more?
This is only a few.
Before, I saw Jesus equals the cross equals died for my sins. Now I see Jesus as my confidant and my forgiveness, and that I am loved and not damned or wrong.
Thanks. It feels really sad to me, but not surprising, that the whole community around the man born blind was unable to support his new vision. And I think that this is why, as part of our understanding of following Jesus from the very beginning, that we recognize and try to put things in place, because going alone is not easy. Going forward by yourself into loving and wondering about Jesus really doesn't work out. And as we wonder together about claiming Jesus as the Christ, every week we've been lifting up what it means when we say things in our baptism, because that is the ritual that begins our Christian life. And this week, we move out of the vows, and I just want to share with us, this week we are reminded of the questions when someone is baptized that we ask of the whole community. I'm going to put them up there. First, we ask the parents or the sponsors, will you nurture these children or persons in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves? I was blind, but now I see. To profess their faith openly, this is all I know. And to lead a Christian life. And then we ask everyone else, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life? I'm going to cry. And include these persons now before you in your care. That's what it means. We don't send people out because they don't get it right. I want to share one more thing that came in this morning from one of our kitchen table leaders, who is responsible for asking these questions and recording them and sending them to us. He said, I especially appreciated collecting all of our thoughts for you on our evolving perspectives. I got to see a group of people who have felt sorrow, loneliness, and hurt share how they now have hope. I, like them, have gained this new direction from our church. It's strongly conclusive of God and his or her love working through all of us. The man born blind first heard for himself and then saw who Jesus was, and that's great. But then he needs the community to keep that vision crystal clear. So my hope for all of us is that we listen to each other's understanding of who Jesus is, and that we walk together to see the light of God's presence in the light of Jesus. And may this story become for us a light that illumines our journey.
Well, I know I've been changed. Well, why? I know I've been changed. Well, why? I know I've been changed. The angels in the heavens gonna sign my name. The angels in the heavens gonna sign my name. I know I've got religion. Lord knows I'm not ashamed. The Holy Ghost is my witness. And the angel's gonna sign my name. Whoa, I
know I've been changed. Well, why? I know I've been changed. Well, why? I know I've been changed. The angels in the heavens gonna sign my name. The angels in the heavens gonna sign my name.